Into our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health Systems, totally focused on patient care. And on our Open Heart Doula's talk and text line from the Rebel Walk, we have Leanne Herring. Leanne, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time this afternoon. And Herb and I were talking about this. This is why you lift all those weights and do all that stuff in the off season to get yourself in shape for games like this. This game's been circled on the calendar for both teams for quite some time and for a large number of years. So that is something special still about LSU Ole Miss.
You're exactly right. Like I said, I said it on our show on Tuesday. You know, make no mistake about it. This, in my opinion, is a game that's going to be a playoff game. And if you guys caught South Carolina, Alabama, that came to the wire. You know that they are packing up and everything ready to get out. My goodness, talk about that. South Carolina playing that Beamer ball, but Alabama skating away. I think that tonight in Death Valley, it's going to be no different. That, you know, I really think it's going to become a line of scrimmage battle along with the quarterback pressure. I mean, offensively, LSU gets really creative, Mike, and, you know, they're great at getting mismatches with counters, utilizing their guard, their tackle, and their tight end. And, you know, LSU loves to run this unbalanced set to see how this defense reacts. And the question is, how can the defense react because at Ole Miss? Because LSU is going to probably be one of the best offenses that they've played as of late. You got to remember, I mean, you guys know this. LSU has big athletic skills, offensive line. They like to pull out of the backside. They do a great job in their RPO. And, you know, I talk about the tight end play, and I think that this is going to be a really big thing, especially when you're the LSU offense trying to get, you know, Jackson Dart, unsettled, but more than likely this Ole Miss defense. I think that we're going to have a difficult time as far as the LSU offense and, you know, going head-to-head on our defense is those exit flat routes and those concepts that LSU likes to utilize with the tight end. Like I said, the Tigers do a great job in the RPO, and I think those late leaks out, the tight end is going to come into big play here. And, of course, you know, putting pressure on Dart on that, you know, coming on the LSU defense. But I think that offensively LSU gets really creative, and I think that it's going to be a challenge defensively for Ole Miss to get to the plate. They have a lot of playmakers. We know Walter Nolan, Centarian Perkins, you know, Princely will be back. But, again, this LSU offense, starting at the offensive line, and some of the playmakers, as you guys know, are difficult. And Kelly likes to get real creative. So it's going to be an interesting matchup on this one.
Leanne, Trey Harris, and we go back a few years, Trey. I saw him when he was the quarterback at Como High School, and he was throwing the ball to a dude that was pretty good, too, Malik Nabers. That was a pretty good combination. But, you know, when he came out of high school, he was not a super highly recruited guy. He was sort of a B-list guy for a lot of schools, and he goes to Louisiana Tech. And he goes through the transition of option quarterback to being a receiver. And by the time he had decided he was going to leave Louisiana Tech, he had everybody after him. But one school, that was LSU. They got in a little bit late to talk to him. But LSU really didn't press the issue because I think had they done it, Trey would have went to LSU. But they didn't get involved heavily. And I know in speaking to him, he said, I wanted to go somewhere where they were going to throw the football a lot. I knew about Coach Kiffin's reputation. And he said, I thought Ole Miss gave me the best opportunity to flourish, and it has. And I knew one thing. When it was listed as questionable Monday, I knew damn well he going to play Saturday. Trey, I don't care if he's got to drag that leg or whatever. He's going to play because of what it means to him, a Louisiana guy, playing in Tiger Stadium, going up against LSU, against a team that I think deep down inside he really wanted to play for, but they didn't give him that option. And sometimes, Leanne, we all know this. God puts you in the right place at the right time.
The right time.
And I think it was the right time for Trey to go to Ole Miss. And he talk a little bit about his development, what you've seen over the last 2 years, because he could have come out early for the draft if he wanted to.
You know, I was talking with a lot of, you know, other people in media and, you know, just kind of, you know, kids like Trey Harris, like you said, you see them all the time. They go to other places. They haven't really reached their level, but you know that when they go to the, I always call it the right fit. And for Trey Harris, Ole Miss is definitely the right fit where he could come to develop. And I think it speaks volumes along with Trey Harris and a lot of other players that that could have hit the portal or, you know, hit the portal or, you know, made their way to the NFL. But they decided to stay because this pro mindset that Lane Kiffin and his staff have really built here and the culture they have really built here has really, you know, trickled down to these athletes wanting to stay and wanting to develop because they know what they can become at Ole Miss. You know, Trey Harris was, like you said, not the most sought-after recruit, but a lot of those times, those kids I find in the recruiting, you know, recruiting trail, those are the kids that often pan out the most because they have a different kind of grit about them and they haven't reached the ceilings yet. And their willingness to work. And like you said, Trey being questionable, I wouldn't, this is a game that I believe we're going to see Trey Harris. I don't think he's going to miss this one for a lot of reasons. They're going to have to drag him out without him getting some playing time. So I definitely believe that Trey Harris it'll be a game time situation. I don't know if we'll see as much of him because, of course, you know, Ole Miss has its picking and choosing a lot of offensive weapons, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of it. I do believe that Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. will go with what we saw at South Carolina, is trying to have a better ball distribution, especially having to go against, you know, try to control this ball game early and not let it get too far away from them or have to play catch-up. Because, like I said, you know, LSU defense does have its holes and whatnot. But like I said, you got to talk about this LSU offense. I mean, I was at Duncanville last night watching Duncanville DeSoto, and I know that freshman running back y'all have out there. Seen him a couple times, Caden Durno. I know he was questionable to see if he was going to be, but I mean, what he's done, he's been another young playmaker for Brian Kelly that's just been outstanding, which leads to no surprise. You almost look past the size and everything because everything else. So it'll be interesting to see if he's back in the game today, because he could be another, he could create a lot of chaos on the offense for this Ole Miss defense, especially those linebackers in the back trying to escape away from his agility and his speed if he does play today for LSU.
Well, Leanne, you know, we talked a lot about Ole Miss's offense and Lane Kiffin, and that's what all the talk is always about. But my question is, how does Ole Miss's defense stop a very, what I like to call, a potent LSU passing game? You know, Nussmeier's been just nothing less than phenomenal, in my opinion, being able to distribute the ball to different players and leading his team in the direction that they're in. So, you know, coming into this game, I think that Ole Miss is looking to do everything they can to stop Nussmeier in that passing game. How do you think they go about doing that?
You know, I think that the secondary is going to be really instrumental in this. We know that LSU loves to run a lot of unbalanced in motion and keep their defense off their toes. The Tigers are just really good schematically at that. And again, I say this with all due respect. We're the top defense in the country, but again, we haven't had quite a test like we have had against LSU and put the rivalry, put all those intangibles in that. But I do think that our offensive line, you know, has to stay on track for this one. The Ole Miss offensive line and the defensive line are both, it's going to be a game of trenches. I know that you were talking about how we break down that LSU offense. I think it's just having the control and spread the ball and make sure that we put a lot of man-to-man and try to put Nussmeier and get him in that quarterback, you know, put under pressure, because he's thrown for 61%, like you said, and he has a lot of weapons, a lot of assets. But we also have seen, you know, him have trouble on not being able to take care of the ball. So I think for Ole Miss, as far as the defense, the secondary is going to have to come up big in this one. They're going to have to win those the turnover battles, and I've been talking about it, is the third and longs and trying to get, similar to what LSU will do with Jackson Dart, is trying to get Jackson Dart in those third and longs. I feel like Ole Miss will try to do the same with the LSU offense and trying to slow them down. But I do believe whoever wins the line of scrimmage battle in this one, and also the quarterback battle with the fewest mistakes, is going to have a good shot of coming out of Death Valley one way or another with the win in this one. But again, I do believe it's going to be a very tight-knit, low-scoring game, because you got an excellent LSU offense. I'm going to guess one of the top defenses in the country. But again, something's got to give. It's just a matter of who's going to play better ball in this one.
Leanne, one of the guys that and looks as though it has been trending that he probably will play. I think it's a difference maker up front, and that's Princely Umanmielen, the defensive end who we got to see play at Florida. And he, no question, last year, he was Florida's best defensive player. It wasn't even close there. And it's his ability to affect the quarterback. Sometimes it's not does he get a sack or a tackle for a loss, but his presence – I hate to say it, almost like an odor. I mean, you know it's there. And you're cognizant of it every time he's out on the field. That's a big difference to me defensively if Princely's playing or he doesn't, because of his pass rush ability.
And I'm glad you brought Princely up. You know, whether it's a game time situation, of course, right now it's a game time decision. We had some Terrion Perkins, you know, really step up. But the pass rush is another key thing that's going to be key in this game. And I do believe that we saw a lot better. We saw a lot better improvement with the pass rush against South Carolina. But again, this is not that South Carolina is by no means the same level at that LSU will be playing up. So the Ole Miss is definitely going to have to clean up the pass rush tonight. And, you know, but like you said, Princely's just a present. When he gets there, he's going to make plays. They're going to be challenged on those underneath routes, especially the way that LSU loves to run those deep routes, opening the underneath stuff. So they're going to have to put pressure on the linebacker coverage. But again, I think if Princely plays and then we have a lot of other players, that's the one thing I think that has been key for Ole Miss coming into the game that we haven't had in past years. We have depth on both sides of the ball. We're playing, you know, very balanced ball, but it won't be any easier. I just think that we have a better footing and a better team that we brought into Death Valley in a long time. And you know, it's going to be a close one. And, you know, we got to think about this. We talked about the atmosphere. Ole Miss has 50 kids on that roster that have never played in a game of this magnitude. And some of them may get this opportunity tonight. You know, playing at, you guys know, playing at that kind of stadium puts a whole nother dynamic on already into the intensity of this game. So another opportunity where, you know, that both these teams are going to try to create a chaos, not just on the field, but trying to get, you know, the opposing offense, you know, off their track and off their guard, you know, and get them off their mind and play mind games with them, basically, you know, because of this is going to be that kind of pressure situation. But I do believe, you know, we're going to see a lot. The special teams have really dictated the outcome of this game historically. And I believe that special teams will also be a deciding factor and, you know, at the outcome of this game too, as well. Because I really do believe that this is going to be a different kind of game than we saw last year. It's going to be a lot closer, and it could get really ugly really fast.
Leanne, thanks so much for joining us. I'm glad you brought up special teams, because keep an eye out on the zero for LSU, Zaven Thomas, who has come close, and I mean real close, a couple times of breaking a punt return for a touchdown.
Yep.
And so you, eventually when you hit it a couple times and you don't quite get it, eventually it happens.
Yep.
And so that's something for the Rebels. They're going to have to be cognizant of. LSU in the past, it had been a lot of fair catches. It hadn't been the run backs. But number zero, Zaven Thomas, he gives them
right.
a different element. And the guy was a guy that, in covering Ole Miss, you know that he was at Mississippi State for a couple of years. He's made quite an impact in the return game for LSU.
No, like you said, the Rebs are going to have to be of sound mind in this one, just because of the way LSU is coming in. They're playing on their turf at home. And like we said, this game historically is one of the most underrated rivalries at night. So, but I do believe that special teams historically have dictated how this one's going to go. So this may be the night that might happen on either side. So I do believe that special teams, if it comes down to the wire, will be a key deciding factor, aside from the quarterback battle and winning that line of scrimmage in the battle in the trenches.
Leanne, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate
yes,
it.
Thank
hey,
you.
I saw you took a picture with a dude from, what, it was from DeSoto High School. He's 6'8". 350 pounds. Okay, and he's going to Syracuse? Well, I guess they got name, image, likeness in New York, too. They got money up there. So, man, I took a look at that.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah, he's been trying to – he's a really great kid. He's a really sound leader. I mean, he's got his own security. It's really quite funny. I've seen him – you know, I've known that kid a while. And, you know, he's got his own security. The opposing teams are always taking pictures of him. But yes, I told him, you know, it gets a little cold on the East Coast, so if you ever want to come to a sunny place, there's always room to sit for him. But yes, no, there is a lot. Like, you talk about a presence, you mentioned it, and he came to mind when you talked about Princely. You see Byron Washington, and he is that presence. I think that that opposing defensive line that has to face him every week, even if it's high school football and top teams in high school, there's their offensive line, and then there's Byron Washington, you know, a man amongst kids, you know, and it's hard to believe that he's just a, you know, he's a senior. So, but a really, really great kid and everything. But yes, he's going to Syracuse, but thank God for the transfer portal, because I don't know if he can quite, I don't know how that snow's going to treat him after a while. He might miss Dallas a little bit after that. But no, great game. And, you know, Duncanville, DeSoto, Duncanville remains number one. It was a close one. Keelan Russell, of course, Alabama commit, who everybody is still after, did a phenomenal job leading his team to that victory over DeSoto last night.
Yeah, I do know those checks clear from New York, so it's all good. Leanne, again, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time, and always do a great job. Thank you
That's
so much.
Right. Yes.
Thank you so much. Hotty
toddy. All righty. It's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. I'll let her get that hottie toddy.
Yeah, you know, I was about to say
come
something.
Come on, I'll let her get it in.
She's lucky we like it, but no hottie toddy. Go Tigers, baby. Okay, my bad.
I'll let her get it in. That was brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on patient care. We'll be back to finish it up here in our number one of our Tiger Tailgating Show. Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, right here from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll be back.